Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'll tell you, in some ways, I just sit here and marvel at the Pirates. It is a sight to behold. It has to be the worst start when you combine on and off the field in the team's 144-year history. It just has to be. You know of the incidents off the field. And I'm glad, really glad, obviously, that the kid who fell off the outfield wall seems to be doing well in his recovery. But that was just mind-blowing that something like that would happen amidst this. And then you had, you had everything we know that's happened other than that off the field. You had them replacing the iconic number 21 on the Clemente wall with a Philly-based cocktail can. You had the fact that people's bucko bricks, memento bricks, dedicated to family members largely, were found in a recycling bin in Reserve Township. And you had a team usher beat a fan with a belt the other day. And the team is on pace to have its lowest win total ever in a 162-game season. Other than that, Limits, things are going rather well.
Smoothly.
Yeah. They're 12-26, which amazingly...
That sounds unfathomable that they're 12-26.
It really does.
I mean, seriously.
Limits, it's the same record as they had in year one.
2020 COVID year.
In year one, which was clearly, we're going to tear this whole thing down to the studs and rebuild it the same way Neil Huntington did.
They went 19-41 in 60 games. And 60 games, we're told, is that barometer by a lot of people of how they could be judged. If they're 19-41 again.
Well, what does it matter now? They're 12-26. They might be 19-41. All they do is lose. But the fact that they're regressing. They're the same through 36, but their winning percentage now is worse than a 19-41 winning percentage. And now they're trying to win.
It's trying.
They were trying to lose then and doing a hell of a job of it, I might add. This guy, Ben Cherington, is headed for his third 100-loss season, and it would absolutely be four if 2020 wasn't cut short by COVID.
No doubt.
He would have four 100-loss seasons in 6 years, which prompted a column I wrote today that Ben Cherington is the worst general manager in Pittsburgh sports history. That's the headline. And I can make that case, Limits, and I think I can make it fairly solidly. Listen, we all know that the problem starts at the top, Bob Nutting. Okay, everybody in the world knows that. We've acknowledged that roughly 8 trillion times on this show. And so have you in the stands, and so have you wherever you are, and so has Limits in the booth. We know that. But Neil Huntington won here with the same financial constraints. Other teams win on puny payrolls. So while the problem begins at the top with the guy who doesn't spend enough and who hired Ben Cherington, that hardly absolves Ben Cherington. There's a lot of blame left for the GM. So I got curious. Who has ever done a worse job around here as a GM, Limits?
I'm glad you asked.
Thank you. We've had, according to, there's a great site out there called RetroSeasons.com. Listen to this. We've had among our three major sports teams, Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, 44 general managers over 201 seasons, stretching back to the Pittsburgh Alleghenies of 1882. And you know who their beat writer was.
Mr. Ronald Cook.
Yes.
Yes, he was. He was the beat writer.
He was. Yes. That's when he broke in, Ron did, with the 82 Pittsburgh Alleghenies. So 44 general managers over 201 combined seasons in the history of Pittsburgh sports. Okay. So I will quickly tell you some others who might be in the conversation, as they say, with Cherington. First, I'll tell you that Cherington has a 4.11 career winning percentage here.
Oof.
He hasn't come close to a winning season. He hasn't come close to the playoffs, obviously. And like I said, he should be right now on pace for his fourth 100-loss season. There is not a single Cherington-developed player in the lineup, at least not one who's any good or even average. Think about that miracle. And they're on pace to win their fewest games, 51, that they have ever won in a 162-game season. I'll give you a second to digest all of that because it's miraculous. Okay? Now, who else is in contention for the worst general manager ever in Pittsburgh sports among the 44 who have held that title across 201 seasons? Well, in terms of winning percentage, and I'm going to knock out anybody who had like a 1 or 2 year tenure. May I do that,
That's
Limits?
That's fair, yeah.
One of those was Dan Rooney, who served as the Steelers GM in 1969 and 70. He went 6-22, but he hired Chuck Knoll. Cherington hired Derek Shelton. Plus, Dan Rooney went on to become, you know, one of the most successful and influential NFL executives who has ever lived.
Hall of Famer, six-time champ.
Yeah, I'm not predicting that for Cherington's future, I don't think, whether he's in baseball or football. So I'm certainly, I'm not going with 1 or 2 year tenures. For me, I drew the line. You had to have managed a team in this city for at least 3 years, okay? So keep in mind as I move along that Cherington's winning percentage is 4.11. He's never had a winning season and never made the playoffs. Jack Riley had a rough run in his first stint as Penguins general manager. 4.03 winning percentage. But Malzi, I mean, Limits, that was with an expansion team. I think that gives him a little break there. Plus, he came back in his second run and bested Cherington in winning percentage and playoff appearances, which is to say more than none.
I would say that's a better tenure.
So he ranks ahead of Cherington. The only other Penguins general manager with a lower winning percentage than Cherington's 4.11 was EJ, Eddie Johnston, at an even 400 from 83 to 88. But here's the caveat with him, oh, limitless wonder.
Who did he draft?
Well, first of all, for one of those years, the Penguins were basically throwing games in order to draft Mario Lemieux, okay? So, and we all remember I have the coach of that team on the record saying he was manipulating games trying to lose. They got Mario. EJ is a hero. Nobody's ever going to call Cherington that. EJ, too, is ahead of Cherington. Is that good logic?
I do want to play devil's advocate.
Please.
Will we look at this in about 10, 15 years, and you know we don't know what's going to happen, but I guess we can all guess what will happen in 5 years.
Let me answer your question before you ask. No.
Okay.
Paul Skeens? Yeah.
Okay.
No. Now, he's actually one thing that Cherington certainly deserves credit for, because if you remember at the time, a lot of people thought they were going to go for the position player, Dylan Cruz.
It was a 50-50 proposition at the time. It really was. People forget that.
They went for Skeens, but Skeens will be gone at some point, and he will not have won a World Series here like Mario. Mario saved an entire franchise. I don't think Skeens is saving the franchise, as great as he is. I saw Travis Sawchuk tweet the other day something that I mentioned before the season, which is the idea that Paul Skeens is both a blessing and a curse. I think that's the phrase I used. A blessing because he's Paul Skeens and he's awesome, and he's one of the greatest young pitchers maybe in baseball history. A curse because having his presence here as that underscores everything they've done, or more accurately, haven't done to build around him. So while the Pirates were quietly sort of marinating in their own hideousness, now they can't do it quietly because all eyes around baseball are on Skeens. And when they're on Skeens, they're also on the Pirates. And that's very bad for the Pirates.
It's bad for the Pirates, but don't you think it's good for the fan base and it's good for baseball to have an eye on that? To hopefully the Pirates would change something about it? Like, I don't think that they would.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think they would.
Yeah, but they haven't.
But shouldn't it turn up the heat?
Well, what does that have to do with anything? Yes, it should. It hasn't. They got Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier. Everybody's watching the Pirates and wondering what the hell they're doing. And no, Paul Skeens won't have a Mario-like legacy here.
No, he won't.
Because first of all, he won't be here long enough. Second of all, they've done nothing, which tells me they're going to do nothing to build around him. So I put EJ ahead of Ben Cherington. That brings us to the Steelers. And believe it or not, Limits, there's only one Steeler GM who was here for any length of time, 3 or more years, with a lower winning percentage than Cherington.
And going back to 1933.
We're going back, believe it or not, to the Chief, Art Rooney. But let's not get silly here. The Chief appointed himself GM for 7 years upon founding the Steelers in 1933. But to compare the job of an NFL GM then to any type of GM now is more than apples to oranges. It's more of a disparity than that. It's a joke, and I'll give you an example. The first NFL draft in 1933, people like Art Rooney were taking advice from sports writers. Sports writers sat next to the owners at the first NFL draft at the Ritz-Carlton in Philly and advised them on who to take. So,
could you imagine
Ron Cook with the Chief?
Hey, I tell you what, Art, this Bill Shakespeare guy, I know he's a great writer, but he can really play ball too. You got to take him.
Chief, I think Franco Harris would be a great pick. I think Lyne Swann would be a great receiver for you.
Joe Green, extra E on the end. He's mean. He can really, really go at it on the line.
So, that was the case back then. The job is just so different now that even though the Chief had a horrible record as a GM for 7 years, it was too long ago, really, to make a fair comparison. So I can't do that. I'm not putting the Chief below Cherington on this list. I'm not. He was the owner of the team. Be like if Nutting was the owner and the GM. Can you imagine that?
It's like me running my wiffle ball league, putting teams together.
Yes.
A little bit different.
Right. So I'm not doing that. And then, and that's it for Penguins and Steelers in all their history. And then we get to the Pirates. And even Dave Littlefield and Cam Bonifay won more than this guy. Even those two.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Here's the amazing part. The only Pirates general manager who was here for any length of time, which is, I say, 3 years or more, who won less than Charrington, was one of the most legendary figures in the history of sports. Kind of like the Chief with the Steelers, Branch Rickey. Branch Rickey, the guy who brought Jackie Robinson into Major League Baseball.
Yes.
The guy who won 4 World Series championships running the Cardinals, had a worse winning percentage as a GM here than Ben Charrington. However,
what time frame was that?
There's another caveat here, oh limitless wonder. That was 1951 to 55. It was Rickey's last stop in baseball, at least running a team. He only had a 349 winning percentage. So on one hand, don't count Charrington out yet. On the other, Branch Rickey beats Charrington on 2 fronts. 1, he delivered one of the great lines in sports history. You got to give him credit for that. The Pirates had just finished last yet again when Ralph Kiner, legendary slugger, objected to a proposed pay cut. And that prompted Branch Rickey to say to him, "Son, we could have finished last without you." Limits right there. I mean,
yeah, that's a good point. That's fair.
Charrington, I don't even know what he's saying. You know, he makes Kyle Dubas look economical with his words.
Is he going to say that to Paul Skeens? We can finish in last place without you?
He might. I don't know what he's saying. So you got to give him credit for that. But more importantly, and this is what vaults Branch Rickey, despite a 349 winning percentage over 5 seasons here, this is what vaults him past Charrington on the all-time list of Pittsburgh GMs. He built the core of the 1960 World Series Pirates. Branch Rickey brought Clemente here in the Rule 5 draft. He brought Dick Groat, Bill Mazeroski, Elroy Face, and Vern Law here. That's Clemente. It's the 1960 NL MVP in Groat, the all-time World Series hero in Mazeroski, and 2 great pitchers. I don't think that Emmanuel Valdez is a building block for the future. Call me crazy.
You don't think so? Or Jack Sawinski?
Or
Jared Triolo?
Well, he didn't bring Sawinski here, I don't think, did he? But he brought Henry Davis here.
He brought Sawinski here in
did
a
he?
Trade.
Okay. Well, not Sawinski. So obviously that vaults him past Charrington. He built the core of a world champion. And that leaves Ben Charrington at the very top or the very bottom. However you'd like to view it, Limit. So at least I guess he's won something here, right? He is the worst general manager in the history of Pittsburgh sports, and I don't think that's hyperbole. Thoughts?
Should he deserve a cake for this? Should we
maybe a cake?
Bring him some ice cream, some cupcakes.
The moral of the story for me, or at least where the story leads, is how are they still here? And isn't today the logical day to move on? They're back from St. Louis. Who do they play tomorrow?
Atlanta
coming to town.
And they're starting to catch a little bit of fire considering they started, what, 0-7, 0-8?
And this needs to end. I mean, almost mercifully for Shelton and Charrington, it needs to end. And today would be the day that makes sense. Because if not now, then when? Then I start to wonder if Bob Dunning is waiting for what? Waiting for Nick Gonzalez and Spencer Horwitz to get here to see if things change. Bubba Chandler, did he guarantee these guys that no matter what, they're going to at least see this season through? This is a monumental disaster that's only getting worse. It's getting worse, and it's getting worse every single day.
Would you like to hear how Spencer Horwitz is doing in the minors right now on his rehab assignment?
Not really, but I sense you're about to tell me.
I am. 4 hits and 24 at-bats. He's hitting 167 with a .481 OPS.
Put him in the cleanup role, Limits. He'll be an improvement.
He's here to save the day.
Who's the other guy I mentioned? Is Gonzalez rehabbing yet?
No, he's not in games yet. I think Noah Hyles told us next week is more likely.
So
after he was injured in the box hitting a home run and was limping around the bases in Miami on opening day.
I forgot about that. Is that not symbolic of the season as a whole?
They're just limping to the finish line, Joe. They're limping home. But I agree with you. Like, now that you have eloquently, as well as you did, put it out there with Cherington, I don't think you can say in any other way, because what building blocks are here right now that were drafted other than Skeens? Maybe Connor Griffin is someone we look at.
Chandler, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even talking about pitching with all of this. I mean, and Chandler looks like he was a great pick. Everybody, if you're going to last, if you're going to be running a baseball team or any sports franchise for 6 years, and you're picking at the top of every round every year, you better have at least one or two great picks. And I know Chandler was beyond the top, but they used their first pick that year, the first pick overall, on Henry Davis.
Yeah, and look, just like how Ricky's tenure, I'm sure when it ended, was looked at as probably the worst ever. But since some of those players produce and they won a championship, I'm not saying that Bubba Chandler or Paul Skeens will do that here. I imagine that eventually it might be looked at with a little bit of a brighter light on Cherington, but right now...
What? Why do you say that?
Well, depending on how Skeens, Chandler, Connor Griffin
We already
Griffin
know Skeens
out,
is great.
I'm not saying that he's not the worst
ever.
So
if Connor Griffin turns... What was he? The second pick? The fourth pick?
He was like the seventh or eighth pick.
Okay, another top 10 pick. So if a couple of his top 10 picks, of his many top 10 picks, turn out, we view him differently?
Not entirely.
Not at all, for me. There's no lipstick to put on the Ben Cherington tenure.
Look, I agree with you. It's the worst tenure that a general manager has had in Pittsburgh sports history.
And there never will be.
Will be a worse one.
There never will be any lipstick to put on the Ben Cherington tenure. I don't think, anyway.
I think the only lipstick that could be put on it is if somebody else comes here, a new general manager, a new manager comes here, and they ultimately end up winning in like the final year that Paul Skeens is here, and they
so
go
a
to
new
like the World
a new
Series.
General manager winning with Skeens would make the guy who didn't win with Skeens look better.
Well, what you're saying about how Branch Rickey built it all up and the new GM that won the 1960 World
Series—that's because he brought in a whole core of young guys that then moved on to win a World Series.
Right. And again, I'm just playing devil's advocate. That bringing in Skeens, bringing in Chandler, bringing in Connor Griffin, that might be a similar light. Again, I'm not saying the Branch Rickey tenure was bad. I'm not saying that the Cherington tenure is not bad. The Cherington tenure has been the worst of any. It might look somewhat different if somebody else comes in and basically rehabs the whole entire thing, where you say, oh, well, at least he brought in a couple of guys that made it look a little bit better than it could have been.
How could he not? He's picked in the top 10 every year, pretty much.
When were a lot of the guys that Branch Rickey
picked? Clemente was Rule 5, one of the greatest players in baseball history. That automatically vaults that move way past anything this guy has done. You or I could have picked Skeens, and I do give him credit because he picked him over Cruz. But let's be honest, you or I could have picked him. It's easy to pick in the top 5 or 10, although you wouldn't know it from his tenure.
In no way am I trying to defend the GM here.
I know.
Which I think you know, but I just want to make it clear. It has been absolutely a disaster throughout this 6 years. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. They haven't rebuilt anything that makes you feel confident that this thing is just going to, on the flip of a switch, change. Even if they change the manager, and I have some numbers on him that I think you're going to find fascinating, that our friend Charlie Borges put out there.
I know all the numbers on him of managers who have managed 700 or more games in the majors. I think there's 216, and old Shelty ranks 214. Is that right?
214 with a .410 winning percentage.
Yes.
In 700 games managed. One of the guys managed in the 1870s and another during World War II. And another was one of the expansion managers with San Diego.
Right.
It's just
Preston
unfathomable.
Preston Gomez, I think.
Preston Gomez, 395.
We've seen these numbers.
Jimmy Wilson, .401. Derek Shelton, .410 winning percentage.
So what is Bob Nutting waiting for? I just don't understand. And I get it. He doesn't want to pay people not to work, but he could just turn, you know, inward to the organization to find replacements anyway for now. Ben Cherington doesn't deserve to run another draft. They've lost 7 in a row and 9 of 10. The season has careened out of control. It's time. And I know there are arguments like, what's the use now? It's just going to get worse. Just have Shelty, you know, manage out the year and then look. No, man, it's at some point, there has to be some accountability. And even if the guy at the head of the table is the main cause by far for all of this, there has to be some accountability with the other two main jobs in the organization. There just has to be.
And the fact that it hasn't happened today means it's probably not going to happen for another week.
Well, let's see. Today is a little bit young yet. We're not even to noon yet. Oh, limitless wonder.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.